it was like going to see a movie that you know is going to be awesome, and the movie actually was awesome. Tearing up, going to a field that I played for the past 5 years, never seeing more than 3 POCs or people of color per, like, on the field at one time, and now thinking about seeing a sea of our people is just amazing, and this is all thanks to you.
Really being an inspiration and someone whose words I've held on to for the last few years.
I want to thank her so much for bringing us together and creating this tour for us and adding and expanding my ultimate family.
Who are these players talking about? What tour? Bonsoir, I'm Katiana. I'm an Ultimate Frisbee player from Denver, Colorado, and if you recall, not too long ago, I curated an Instagram takeover on UltiWorld. You might have seen some extra colorful footage during the weekend at regionals, or wondered, why haven't I heard about the AUDL in the last 2 hours? Folks, that's because a historic Frisbee game happened this past September. I'm here to tell you all about it. Last month, a group of highly skilled athletes, including myself, participated in the Continent Tour, organized by a powerhouse of a human being, Shanee Crawford.
I still can't, like, comprehend the magnitude of, like, the game and what it means to both the community and myself.
This will probably remain one of the most impactful experiences of my ultimate career.
This game was different, intended for players from all around North America. Shanee, founder of Disc Diversity, posted this past February in 2021 about an Ultimate Frisbee Tour that would take place this fall, literally unlike anything that's come before. An all-black tour.
With respect to equity, I want to establish the athletic standard. On the one hand, this will include affording current black players every imaginable support white players have had. Both advantages that are readily apparent, as well as those that are only understood with intention.
I believe that by uplifting black players in this way, we will inspire the absent leaders the ultimate community requires, but that black players don't have to be. On the other hand, to introduce black youth to Ultimate, to invite them into an unprecedented support system at a time like this, would surely expand our community in a meaningful and lasting way.
I caught up with 8 players who participated in last month's game for the Continent Tour. First stop, Philadelphia.
Chadwick Johnson, call me Chad, he, him, and from Philadelphia.
Brittany Taylor from Richmond, Virginia, and my pronouns are she, her.
My name's Clea Dodge. I am from New Jersey, but I play in the Philadelphia scene, and I'm she, her.
Hi, my name is Lamar Seeger, he, him, from Philadelphia.
I'm Edward Brown. I also go by Ed. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm from Philadelphia.
My name is Jenny DeJesus. I live in Jersey and play in Jersey, New York scenes, and my pronouns are also she, her.
I'm Corey Parker. I'm from Westchester, New York, and I go by he, him pronouns.
My name's Jalen Matthews, born and raised in Philadelphia, and my pronouns are also she, her.
All 8 players are based in cities along the East Coast and have been there for most of their lives. As a black player, particularly from out west, I was curious to learn just how they all came to be denizens of the East Side. For some, they knew just how deep the roots of their family tree were, how rich its soil, rich like their melanated skin.
Yeah, my history is, well, I'm biracial, and I'm not sure how the white side of my family got here, but I know that I'm one descendant of William Still, who was an organizer on the Underground Railroad in Philly. and black side of my family stuck around.
My great grandma was from Langhorne, which is like an hour or so away. Her and my great grandpa moved here away from his family in the country, like further out in PA, and he built the house from his hands up, and he was like, we're gonna live here, and that was that. And then on my dad's side, they came from Virginia, and kind of similar story, we're just trying to spread out roots.
I'm mixed. My dad, when he was 17 in Dominican Republic, he won the visa lottery to come to this country. My mom's family immigrated here through Ellis Island. They're Jewish Romanian, just Jewish culturally. And they met in a supermarket in the Bronx, fell in love, moved to Jersey to have a backyard. And we just had a very odd little mixed family up in Bergen County, New Jersey.
My mom met my dad, you know, while she was teaching in Central Virginia. My dad was working. His family is black, poor country, Southeast Virginia. And she is pretty, you know, like standard white baby boomer family from Northern Virginia. So definitely a different mix of worlds that I was coming into.
For others like myself, the lineage that brought them to Edgeley Field is less apparent, with a more hallowed history contributing to the well-known African diaspora.
And I actually don't know where my family came from. I know my parents are mixed. My grandmother is like Native American. My grandfather's like Portuguese and Italian. I actually don't know if they came from there or their ancestors did, but
how we got to Philly, I'll say, I'm not too sure about it. My grandma was actually adopted. So from where I know my family, my grandma is basically, I don't know how to put it, but my grandma was just all I know, and then her children, so my aunts and uncles, and my mom, of course.
My story, I guess, goes, I was born in Philadelphia, adopted and raised in central Pennsylvania by a very loving white family.
And for some, all they know is the East Coast. They were here long before you, and they'll be here long after.
My family is born and raised in New Jersey. I was born and raised in New Jersey.
I went to Penn. My mom also went to Penn.
Like I said, I was born and raised in Philly. Of course, my parents are still here.
We joined a roster of players from across America, down to the Everglades, around the Rockies, to the country of Texas, passing through the plains, near the Great Lakes, i.e. America's Scandinavia, even crossing the border to Canada, all the way out to the West Coast. We players represented two teams at the Continent Tour's first stop. The teams were Black Matter and Lights Out. On the plane to the Philadelphia the previous day, during the drive to Edgeley the day of, even while throwing in the park with some of my fellow Lights Out teammates just hours before, the anticipation of the game weighed heavily on our minds. A dark wave of restlessness slowly made its way to the fields.
I was kind of like looking, I was like, what's the level of play going to be like? Am I going to get dusted?
I know, I kind of wish I would have worked out a little.
I was like, I'm kind of going to get dusted on every matchup. Like, I'd be seeing these highlights of these men and I'm like, whoa, who's guarding them?
I was definitely excited to hear about that opportunity as well. I think I, as an older player, have kind of been waiting, you know, over a decade for an opportunity to play in a game like that, since I probably went to Layout and saw Downtown Brown was a thing and that there were teams of black people or, you know, players of color.
My biggest expectation going into this game was just the amount of pressure that I felt was going to be put on us as a community to, you know, showcase our talents and represent our communities appropriately.
I hope everyone hasn't worked out completely more than I have.
Like, I know some people are in shape to go to nationals right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
So
not me.
I've been anticipating it a lot and had a tough time falling asleep the night before.
And then the day came.
Thanks, Tom.
And now, the Great Migration.
Walking up to the game, or just approaching the game in general, just the whole entire day, just leading up to it, I was like, was going through so many different emotions. I was excited. I was nervous. It was just too much. Like, pulling up to the field, driving to the field, I had so many butterflies, but I still, like, had a smile on my face. And I was just so, like, nervous meeting everyone. But I was still excited at the same time. I was just like, we're about to make history right now. And not just us, but, like, I don't know, just in general, for it to be in Philly, too, the first stop, I was like, this is just amazing, and I get to be a part of this.
My name's
Amel.
Hi, I'm Tatiana.
Nice one, man. Oh. Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, this is an international game. You know what I'm saying? Oh, got a little Haitians, got a little Canadian.
Let's go!
Oh,
this is gonna be a blast. We already got a fan. Somebody walked by and was like, what are all these black people doing here? Ultimate Frisbee, you gonna stay?
I was ecstatic. I think I was having, like, fan shock when I got there. Because, I mean, to be surrounded by a lot of people that I looked up to, like, I'm not in that national club scene, but I know a lot of players that do play in that club scene. So to be around people that I idolize, like Obi Payne, Trent Dillon, AJ Merriman, Khalif Al-Salam, being around all those people, like, literally just put me in a panic attack. I was like, how am I going to compare to these people on the field? How am I going to showcase my skills? So I was, like, really excited. I was ecstatic. I was so happy. And I was so surprised by how integrative we were already together. Like, we were already automatically just friends, family, love, from the time that everyone showed up to the time that everyone left. It was the best thing in the world to be around people who just were so happy to be there. Everyone's happy to be there, even the fans, my husband, our friends, our family, everyone.
Okay, I'm going to introduce myself to this young man. What's your name? You're AJ? I'm AJ! Oh my god! Oh, I'm glad you can make it. That's great. Awesome, awesome. And you're, where are you coming from?
As I got to Edgley and, you know, started meeting people, like, all that pressure just kind of washed away, and I felt like I was just there surrounded by people that I've known my entire life.
I don't know yet. Oh, shit. I don't know. This is, I feel so, like taken care of. Like, this house to me. Come in. Like, this, I feel like I'm a fucking, like, royalty. Yes. Shit. Yo, I'm spoiled today. Wait, so, I got glitter for us.
That glitter?
You did? Yes.
Wait, are you our team captain?
Once I got there and just got in the zone and saw how, like, happy everyone else was just to be there, it just, like, it mellowed me out, it calmed me down, and I, like, got in the right headspace.
These are so long. I don't usually wear my socks like that.
They obviously had to split us up, yeah. Too much speed.
I wasn't contacted. I reached out. I found out, like, mid-pandemic. I was like, what is that? I was like, this sounds wild. Like, a completely black Ultimate game, it literally sounded fiction to me. I like researched it and I found out about, you know, our fearless leader, and, you know, her mission and what it was, and I was instantly hooked.
Okay. I played Gridlock in 2019 and didn't play in the Atlantic game, which is when I believe that Shanae helped run some type of workshop or discussion with Gridlock and Atlantis Pro Team, and I missed it, and hence missed the opportunity to meet her. So getting to meet her, play on the same team, have her voice in every circle, it probably was the highlight of my experience.
Remember that game?
Had not heard about that one in terms of playing opportunity, but I did get together with my team DC Rally when that game happened, and we all watched it together, which I thought was just a great indicative opportunity of me being in a safe space. But that game was my introduction to hearing Shinny talk, and just like fell in love with her voice and mannerisms and everything about the idea of what was happening. So it's definitely a big like gateway moment for me.
The way that we found out about this, I think a lot of us were told about this, and I know with the Color of Ultimate, nobody like reached out to me and was like, here's this great playing opportunity.
The Color of Ultimate was a trailblazing game that took place in June 2019. Ultimate Frisbee players of color from the United States and Colombia, El País, came to St. Pius X High School in Atlanta, Georgia. Tuba was what the first team was called. Simpson was what the second team was called. And seemingly, mostly players who were personally invited to partake were the only players called.
I think I've only heard about the Color of Ultimate. I don't think I've ever actually got reached out about it. I had no idea about the Color of Ultimate until like it started happening. I never like received any information about like applying for it or if they were even looking for people to play. I just, you know, got on Twitter one day and USAU like emailed us and like, this is happening. And I was like, oh, this is happening. Okay.
While on the field and well afterwards, it became apparent more players involved in the Continent Tour would have absolutely been thrilled to participate in an opportunity like that. Top professional players, players from Revolución, hosted in the city that is Black Hollywood, and with the post-game discussion on identity and Frisbee, say less, Cardinal, that's a bet.
Where do you guys play at?
Virginia.
Virginia, nice, nice.
Denver.
Well, yeah, same.
Denver.
Denver, oh my gosh.
I actually expected it to be pretty similar to the Color of Ultimate footage that I had seen in terms of the group discussions and the game. I think that was probably just because in my mind, like with Shinny involved in both of them, I assumed that sort of structure, and I was looking forward to more of a kind of a sit down conversation.
So we're missing Jenny. Austin just came. Are you meeting people? Do you know everybody? I know, there's a lot of new faces.
Because I can't remember people's names, so I like go
yeah,
meet somebody.
Just,
yeah,
I got yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel you, I feel you.
My expectation was this, okay. I think this moment right now, like after, it was more just like, I get that like the game was going to happen, I knew it was going to be great, but I was like, I was more just interested in like learning if it was real or not. You know, like it's about like the idea of like there being other Black players that share my same mindset.
Okay. Yeah, we were just saying.
You're good.
No, I have a cheat sheet. Are you kidding me? I literally have a cheat sheet.
Okay, okay.
I have like everybody's picture and their name.
You have that pit? Where'd you get that?
I made it.
That's
because I love y'all.
The cross-continental span of Shanice's efforts brought something unique to the table. Here, she bet only Black, with a side of Black. If you yourself were a side of Black, she bet on you too.
I identify as mixed, specifically Afro-Latina. So I was like, I don't even know if I qualify for this. So I actually think I responded to this opportunity with hesitation, just because I don't think I ever actually knew my space in Ultimate, and then I wasn't sure if this was going to be it.
While many more games like Color of Ultimate should exist, a post-2020 world called for something a bit more Black Lives Matter.
I was like, oh, that just sounds too good to be true. And I told some friends about it, and they're like, oh, you should sign up. You should sign up. And I was like, no. But then I thought on it some more, and, you know, how often do you get the opportunity to take place in something as historic as this. Growing up playing, you know, three sports a year, I usually was the only Black person Well, no, I was the only black person on any sports team that I played on.
The Continent Tour would not have had the same impact were it held in 2019. Do we recall all that unfolded in 2020? If I recall, we bet Lamb back. We bit the bullet and we bet black. We blared for reparations in desperation under attack. The state gaslighted our streets and shot us in the back. With a gasp, took our breath, seized our rights. That's a fact. That's the truth, Ruth. What we heard was no breeze, but repressed yet robust roars of rejected refugees. In Hong Kong and Palestine and cousins across the sea, fists up, gas masks, and taking a knee. One team, one mind, that's a mother T. I resist their despot, and they stand with me. If you find spirit of the game a haunting decree, perhaps that marred bell don't ring of sweet liberty. Not for your black behind, and certainly not for me. At least not for the lesser of us, and ultimate, statistically.
When I kind of woke a little bit more was in the summer of 2017, when white supremacists invaded Charlottesville, Virginia, which was my home at the time. And in that moment, I was playing a tournament with my team, Tyrannus Hoedown, in North Carolina. It wasn't kind of until a year later when things had died down, I was, you know, at a tournament again with the same team, club team, and I asked if we could, you know, have a moment of silence that day and just kind of offered the floor to my teammates for thoughts, anything they wanted to share. And in that moment, when a lot of people didn't take me up on that, I realized that that was not necessarily the community that I wanted supporting me anymore, or, you know, not supporting me. And I stepped away from that team actually the next year to go play in DC, pursuing some more competitive efforts, but also like finding a new place of acceptance. And that was with DC Rally, who has done an incredible job of making equity kind of at times the number one aspect and facet of our community and our ties together. They spent pretty much the duration of the off season during COVID in 2020 when we couldn't play, holding equity sessions biweekly usually. I met a lot of current teammates through those discussions. So getting to know them on that level of support and introspection first, you know, creates buy-in for me, creates trust that I have in them, that if something happens while we're together at practice or a tournament, they're going to support me, they're going to have my back, and it comes from like a deeper meaning place.
It seemed what made this game so special was the fact that it was unlike any of the cumulative years of experience these players had combined. Many recalled their rookie season, learning how to create their own ways of coping on and off the field as the other in the game.
My rookie season was tough. It was just me and one other person who were the only non-white players on the team. I felt out of place in every way. I was the least experienced. There was nobody that looked like me, including the other person of color.
In my rookie season, my team wasn't bad. They were nice, they were friendly, but it was just more or less the fact of I was an outsider and I had to do extra work, in my opinion, to kind of meet these people, right? So these are like, I think at this point it was 27-year-old plus people, and I was like just out of college, like 21, 22, and like they were all at the same job pretty much. They played together for a couple of years, and I was just like the random that got stuck on their team.
When I first started playing Ultimate, it was in high school, and my high school was in Center City of Philadelphia. It was like a small office building. It wasn't like a big actual like school, so we actually did not have like a gymnasium or anything, and we also did not have a football team, but what we did have was an Ultimate team. We had a lot of people of color who went to my school, meaning we had a lot of people of color who played on these Ultimate teams. Being an inner city school, playing the other suburban schools, we were the only people of color out there on the fields, out there in the games, out there at tournaments, and we, you know, we held a bond with each other as like our own team. I play Ultimate at Temple right now, and I don't really talk to anyone at on either of those teams. I don't talk much. I'm always quiet, and that's how I am at practice. I'm like always silent unless someone comes up to me first and talks to me, or if I have to explain something to someone. It's my safe space is with my friends, because I just have the best time on the field with them.
My rookie season, coming from, you know, a small town in South Jersey, I wasn't really sure how to be a teammate on Ultimate. You know what I mean? Because I was so focused on being the best player on the field that I didn't really know that there's multiple jobs that you play on a team.
When I first came to PATA, maybe 5 years ago, and I got on my first team, I feel like I didn't get that sensation right, where I was kind of struggling with the idea of should I really be here? These people are I'm obviously on the team, but there's a difference between being on a team and people wanting you to be on that team. And I think that some people will understand that statement and some won't, but it's just a matter of there's a level of sometimes you know when you're not fully appreciated and celebrated.
When listening to my peers speak their truth, one thing became evident to me: how quickly we become misunderstood. As do many people for a host of reasons. That's not, however, what keeps us from being good athletes. No. Rather, it keeps us from being good teammates. Or so we would believe.
What is decided for our sport, what is comfortable for our sport, is a standard that is not set by us.
Being a person of color in a sport like Ultimate, spirit for us is just different than spirit for white people or white players, I guess.
I guess, to be honest, I do attribute that to my build and my race. I feel like me being a 6'3 black guy who's 300 pounds, and, you know, when I'm in the game, I'm not always smiling. It might be you're pretty unapproachable. But once again, that's someone's perspective, right? If you talk to me, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm just going to be in game mode. And I don't think that it's fair because of that appearance. That's kind of the layout of the situation.
When I get frustrated competitively, I don't have those visceral reactions of, physicality or yelling, really. And I've actually kind of started to grow into those reactions a little bit more, be okay with some of my own frustrations, talking fast or raising my voice when I want to impress that something's important.
High school Ultimate, I was always winning spirit awards, and I felt like it wasn't hard. Just be nice and treat people the way you want to be treated on the field. But once I got to college, I kept the same energy, but for some reason, other girls from other teams just didn't like me. They didn't like my energy. They didn't like how hype I would be on the sideline. And they would tell my captains of my team that I needed to detect my spirit and stuff. And that's what started getting to me. Then I was like, dang, I can't be out here and be excited. And I need to check my spirit. Okay, I guess I don't have any spirit then. And it really changed the game for me in college.
I actually had an interesting conversation with a former teammate. It's this concept around if I go and I score a point, and I go to score a point and I drop it, and I come off the sideline and I cry, it's an emotional response that people respond well to. They'll come hug me, they'll support me, they'll console me. But if I come off the field and I'm angry, and I kick a water bottle, or if I need a moment, if I look angry, people expect me to smile. People expect me not to have that emotional reaction, because for some reason, it's just not as well accepted as the emotional reaction that crying is.
That dreaded spirit of the game says a lot about our sport, and says a lot about what is too often dismissed in our sport: identity.
Something that I found really refreshing, really special at this Continent Tour game was the way that AJ, who was the coach of the Dark team, kind of handled just our circle. I don't know how to say this differently other than the vibes were just kind of different. Everybody was joking around, everyone was heckling, and the way that AJ would still bring us back together so there was one voice and we could immediately fall back into what was our personalities. It was a refreshing experience.
That was the best game I've ever played in Ultimate. I've been playing for 7 years, almost 8 years now, and I've never had an experience like that. That was my most favorite game I've ever played, and I will never forget it.
I never thought in, you know, my lifetime I'd be part of something this important.
Past this, I still can't, like, comprehend the magnitude of, like, the game and what it means to both the community and myself.
I felt so comfortable in the field with you guys, and it definitely is a person of color thing, because we know we all share at least one similar thing together, and that would be our position in the world, basically.
Considering how infrequently a tour like this can happen due to reasons stemming from health, economic, personal, you know, the list goes on and on, it was particularly special meeting players from all around the country just for the first stop. I asked these local Frizz babes about the safe space where they felt comfortable. Perhaps those of you listening in your area can connect with them and build up your community by growing bonds with nearby talent and the space in which you take when taking the field.
All
right,
can you find this?
I
need glitter.
Please, please. Did you find your shorts first?
I'm wearing them. Priorities. I have my shorts. I thought they were a jersey. I thought I was getting a dart too. I was really excited.
What's your name again?
Lauren.
Lauren, where are you from?
PATA is definitely my safe space.
PATA has a large community. I mean, you guys only saw a fraction of it.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but I serve on the board of PATA. PATA is Philadelphia Area Disc Alliance.
And I would say, like, Edgeley is my safe space. I would bike there all the time and just, like, get a picnic, like, and read and, like, walk around and just, like, throw frisbees as far as I could just to, like, get energy out, I guess.
Playing with PATA has been the greatest experience, one of the greatest experiences in my life.
You know, I went to my first PATA League game. It was a summer league game. And right then and there, after that game, I was hooked.
Hint to players in Philadelphia, PATA and Edgeley Park are in. I repeat, PATA and Edgeley Park are in. Here are some Black Frisbee players who've not only made a space for themselves in the mind gym of many fans, but who are well on their way, and rightfully so, of earning themselves a place in the ultimate Hall of Fame.
AJ Merriman.
Brandon Bates.
Terrence Mitchell.
Marquez Brownlee.
Antoine Davis.
AJ Merriman.
Marquez Brownlee.
Izzy Bryant.
Kalia Dodge.
Antoine Davis.
James Pollard.
Terrence Mitchell.
AJ Merriman.
Catch our second game online at discdiversity.com, where the Continent Tour resumes in San Francisco at Boxer Stadium. It will be recorded live on October 9th. That's today, fools! And organized again by the formidable Shani Crawford. Shani, thank you for all you do for your community, with our youth in the classroom all the way to the field for everyone to witness. You truly are a force. Here's to you.
From start to finish, your level was a 10 out of 10.
She's a powerful woman. She had a vision and brought it to life, literally.
I definitely commend Shani for being that dreamer that I think we all need in the Ultimate community.
It seems to really be kind of like a result of her efforts and her dreams, so it's just really impressive.
If every league, every region had a person like Shani, I think we would be all right.
Thank you to BT, aka Brittany Taylor, Ed, Chad, Corey, Jenny, Jalen, Kalia, and Lamar. Special thanks to Lindsay Sue for editing, and to Steve Sullivan, executive editor at UltiWorld, and to the entire UltiWorld staff for sharing your mic. This is Katiana, and I'll see you next time.
I don't have glitter, but I wonder if someone might.
Somebody has
glitter. I feel like.
Are there any local Philly people coming?
Yeah, there definitely should be a few, right?
So maybe they have glitter that they can bring.
Maybe Rosemarie has some glitter. I mean, I feel like it's like
this the beauty product, the cosmetic product of Ultimate. Glitter. Let's do an ad.
This would be brilliant if we had the product.
Yeah.
Anyone want to sponsor us? God, we are just the plight of the black woman. Just filled with ideas to make the world a better place, and no one's calling on us when we raise our hands.